from economics to the woke agenda. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. Breaking news. Newly obtained documents confirm yet again Anthony Fauci of the Public Health, National Institutes of Health, during COVID, lied about COVID. Fauci's NIH lab was a partner with Wuhan on a proposal to engineer a highly transmissible coronavirus in 2018. But he wasn't alone. 15 government agencies knew about it and said nothing. Americans deserve answers. This coming directly from Senator Rand Paul today. As this whole story is unfolding, we will, of course, keep you up to date. Fox News reporting the great COVID cover-up, shocking truth about Wuhan and 15 federal agencies. Shame on all the agencies who covered up for Anthony Fauci. Rand Paul goes on, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. How vast was the great COVID cover-up, which has a nice alliteration, the great COVID cover-up? Well, his investigation, Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, has recently discovered government officials, 15 agencies knew in 2018 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was trying to create a virus like COVID-19. Government officials representing these 15 agencies were briefed on the project by Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance and Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, he is going to be testifying before the United States Congress today. If you recall, I have played you clips of many of his former colleagues in public health, one of them being Columbia University professor Jeffrey Sachs, a committed leftist. I see him every year at the UN Climate Summit. I've talked to him at UN Climate Summit, but he's someone I actually respect because when he was on the COVID task force investigating the origins, he now says the US government lied. Peter Daszak lied about the origins. Anthony Fauci lied. This is one of their longtime public health insiders, Jeffrey Sachs. So Rand Paul is just scratching the surface. Interestingly enough, if the media reports on this, this will be the takedown of the corporate media of the grand COVID narrative by the ruling class, much the same way Andrew Cuomo went down. Now, not saying they're going to take down Anthony Fauci's reputation. I'm not saying Anthony Fauci's going to serve jail time. I am saying they may besmirch his legacy. And the word, their key word is may. I don't know how far the mainstream media will report on this. They might try to minimize it as, oh, just a little dispute about some lab funding from many years before COVID or 2 years before COVID or 1 year before COVID. So we shall see. And I will have much more on this tomorrow, including statements from Senator Rand Paul. And I'll show you the testimony of Peter Daszak, who is just, you know, by all accounts, everyone knows him. The guy doesn't tell the truth. He is all in. And I've actually had guests on this program pre-video days, way back on TNT, of guests who've compiled and done their own investigations and the public statements and the contradictions of Peter Daszak. So this will be very interesting. I'm sure Anthony Fauci will be compelled at some point to testify with this new evidence. We will keep you posted on TNT as all of this. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled programming. We have just nutty wackiness in the climate world and in the government funding and in the public health world, which I'm going to focus on a little bit as well. First thing, this is from the American Medical Association. Declaration, curbing climate change can help stop the next viral pandemic, unquote. The American Medical Association, one of the most prestigious standing of in the good stewards of the public health, not only in America, but around the world. Of course, I say that sarcastically. I have no respect for them. They've been completely co-opted, sold out. The American Medical Association's new journal of the American Medical Association reporting continued climate change is expected to exacerbate transmission in environments shared among plants, humans, and animals. So in other words, if you don't support the Green New Deal, if you don't support net zero climate goals, if you don't support the UN Paris Climate Agreement, you are a grandma killer. It's that simple. And as one of their proofs, the evidence in this journal entry, this was just from a couple weeks ago in the American Medical Association, they list something in the American Medical Association Journal of Ethics. Now, that sounds very erudite, if you will, and it sounds highbrow. The American Journal of Ethics, so like we look into the ethics behind our policies. And here's what they found. Climate literacy is health literacy. And they're warning of the health problems of global warming. And again, this is all on my website, climatedepot.com. If you want to go deeper into this, this is the merging of COVID and climate, merging of climate change into the public health. This goes back many years, but most recently, the 200 medical journals led by the British Medical Journal saying that that the World Health Organization, United Nations, needs to consider climate change a public health emergency. They want this all rolled in to one package, and that's what the World Health Organization's pandemic treaty is trying to do. I've detailed on this show about the WHO, the World Health Organization's climate toolbox for doctors and psychologists. Hey, you know, heat waves are getting a lot worse with climate change, so you might want to be careful out there, not overheating yourself. I'm sorry, what? If you reduce your carbon footprint, you might feel better going to sleep at night, have less anxiety. Perhaps we can take a tenth of a bottle of the massive psychotropic drugs that we're prescribing to you. I don't know what to say. This leads to what you can only be called magical thinking, which I've already described in the show many times, but I'll do it real quick. Sol Friedlander, UCLA historian, Holocaust survivor, wrote Historian of the Nazi Regime in the 1940s, said that the Nazis used the bureaucracy to enforce magical beliefs in the public sphere. And that's exactly where we are today. Yesterday, we told you about climate change from the UK Independent and Reuters. I talked about this with Steve Malloy of Junk Science on this program. Climate change is hitting vulnerable Indonesian trans sex workers. Media claims extreme weather linked to climate change is affecting transgender prostitutes' incomes. And also remember, just last week on this program, on TNT, on Unleashed, I broke to you the story about how they're coming for your pants. Wearing blue jeans creates a huge carbon footprint. Study reveals wearing a pair of pants just once is the equivalent of driving a car 6.4 miles. How about that? Even if you don't own a car, you're driving 6.4 miles a day if you put on pants. Now, there's ways around this. You can get pants made of human hair. Go to your barbershop, get the floor sweepings. Find a craftsman, an artisan, who's willing to blend that discarded human hair into a pair of fine clothing. You can also go back to 2019, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, former New York City mayor, who literally did a report called the Cities Report calling for consumption interventions by 2030. They were bonkers, but one of the most bonkers was limiting the idea of new clothing to three items of new clothing per person per year by 2030, just 6 years away. Now, I was at the Dubai United Nations Climate Summit last December. I asked the sustainable fashion spokesman at these events. They had multiple. They had a fashion runway of sustainable fashion. I said, do we really have to limit ourselves to three new items? And they found a clause. Ha ha. The human hair clause and anything organic hemp, any kind of recycled clothing that would fit their criteria, then you could buy more. But they do not want you buying more wool, cotton. Cotton takes crops, wool takes animals. They don't want you using synthetic fibers, which use fossil fuels. You're very limited by your clothing choices, but you are saving the planet. Which brings us to the wackiness. Now remember, transgender sex workers are being hurt by climate change. You can't wear blue jeans due to climate change. You can't have a backyard barbecue. You can't drive a gas-powered car. Human breath contributes to climate change. And now, are you ready for the latest? The eclipse? The solar eclipse, which, by the way, I missed yesterday. I was here in the TNT studio bringing you the latest news, commentary, and analysis. As such, I did not get to witness the eclipse in person. But don't worry, I can wait how many decades, maybe my next lifetime or something. I can catch it. So I'm not overly concerned about it. But we have Sonny Hostin on The View raising the specter that climate change is responsible for the solar eclipse. I got to say that slowly. The View is promoting the idea that climate change is responsible for the solar eclipse. This is clip one. And watch Whoopi Goldberg try to like realize how batshit boop crazy this is. She tries to walk her back. Let's take a listen. Clip one.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that either climate change exists,
that's more
or something
point.
Is really
or
going
is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens.
And the
eclipse. They've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
So Whoopi Goldberg comes in, and you saw Joy Reid come in. Joy Behard came in on The View and sort of like, oh, not earthquakes either, blah, blah, blah. But it just goes to show you anything out of the ordinary, out of a daily routine, it's climate change. You're wearing pants. That's like driving 6.4 miles. By the way, the next eclipse, I'm told by my TNT producer and my invisible earpiece that it's 2044. So that will be 20 years from today, which would put me in my mid-70s. So let's hope I'm around to see it, unless I'm still doing this TNT show at that exact time. Let's hope maybe I can get a lunch break, or maybe we can do a TNT watch party in 2044. Mark your calendar. Okay. Now, Joy Behard and Whoopi Goldberg seem to poo-poo the idea that, earthquakes. No, that's not climate change. Yes, it could be if you're in the wacky world of climate change. NBC New York went there. Oh, yes, they went there. Their young reporter on NBC New York, affiliate in New York City, decided that she would reach out to some experts to find out how climate change could be responsible for the recent earthquake that hit the Northeast, including New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, a little bit of rumble here where I live in Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And I'll go after I show you this clip. This is clip two. I will talk to you about the long history of blaming climate change for earthquakes. And not just so we're unclear, not like, oh, an earthquake caused a methane leak and makes climate change worse. No, man-made CO2 going in the atmosphere causing earthquakes. That's where we are. Clip two, NBC News, New York.
Is there a season for earthquakes, or can earthquakes occur at any point, winter, spring, summer, fall?
No, there's no seasonality in terms of an annual basis.
Naturally, this left me wondering, could climate change play a role in the frequency of these felt quakes?
If the temperature rises or if the temperature drops, it's not going to affect how often we're going to see an earthquake. And that has to do also with the climate change in a very short term, like in the next year.
But in terms of climate change, if we have sea level rise, for instance, we're going to change the amount of pressure that the ocean is exerting on the shelves and on the coastlines. And some of that weight will help to maybe trigger some earthquake activity, mostly in the same way that we're seeing earthquake activity now.
Even though some felt the shake, these smaller sized quakes do not impact infrastructure.
And experts say that a larger sized earthquake is not anticipated anytime soon.
I love that. And so I looked at the question naturally. I thought, well, can climate change cause more earthquakes? Of course, naturally. I'm sure that reporter went to the finest schools in that America or even the world has to offer. Her name is Linda Godino. She's with NBC New York, Channel 4 affiliate up there. And she finds these experts. Now, let's just review. I'll give it to you in layman's term, what that gobbledygook you just heard. NBC New York cites professor who links climate change to recent earthquakes. Quote, excess rain leads to floods that could result in landslides that can lubricate faults, leading to more earthquakes. Ba-doop-bang. There you have it. Could, might, may, possibly, anything could happen. And of course, you go back in the history of this, and I have this at climatedepot.com. I go back, I think, to like 2010, actor Danny Glover, the United Nations climate chief, a melting Arctic ice could trigger a New Zealand earthquake 7,000 miles away. Any bad thing that happens, and an earthquake could be classified as such, has to be blamed on climate change. An eclipse, not necessarily, but it's out of the ordinary. It's freaky. Like, oh, it was an eclipse of the sun. Must be climate change. This is the world of insanity in which we live. Okay, let's move along here. Ex-Chrysler CEO is on TV warning that EVs are not going to make it. This is going to be clip three. This is a former Chrysler executive, Bob Nardelli, who was actually a very good Chrysler chairman at the time, all into to basically saying to hell with the fuel economy standards. We're going to make big, heavy, safe SUVs. Let's play clip three.
Back during that period, Obama and Biden issued the CAFE standards, where they were exactly trying to do what Biden's doing now. They basically said the average mileage for an internal combustion engine had to increase significantly, therefore limiting the number of Ram trucks I could produce. So we had to produce smaller cars. The consumer said, no thanks, and they had to find an off-ramp then. Now let's look at something. The installed base today is 278 million cars. When I was at Chrysler, the average age was 11 years. It's now grown to 12.6 years. Consumer is still saying, I'll make the decision on what I want to buy. Administration, yet another debacle with EVs. You're not going to force me to do that.
That's an executive who I wish was still running Stellantis. Now you have, like we showed you last week, the Toyota executive who was essentially deballed and just basically, and I know everyone, all the consumers want to lower their carbon footprint and they want to meet the climate goal. No, we don't. No one I know does. And this is Chrysler, Stellantis. Now he's talking about, he's the former chairman. I told you I went to the Jeep dealership in Maryland over the weekend and they don't have a single gas powered Jeep Wrangler on the lot because Stellantis decided, well, because Maryland is a state that's a CARB state, California Air Resources Board of Emissions, and going along with the California emission standard, we're just going to only allow the battery Jeeps there. And of course, the guy admitted to me that the salesman, that they're getting killed. Basically, no, they're not selling and people can go across the state line and actually go buy a gas powered. They can only order the gas powered, or they can get one if it's ordered and canceled, then they'll get one, or they can only have used vehicles with gas. This is insane. Forcing this on consumers. I'd have zero interest in some big, heavy, dopey, early run, by the way, of these vehicles with all of this technology. It's like, oh, let's go out and buy the latest digital gizmo, which will be obsolete in a couple years and broken and not with no longevity. Who would want that? Clip four, industry. This is once again, I showed you an earlier version of this a couple weeks ago. This is a new ad from the auto industry fighting back on the gas-powered car bans. It's the American Fuel and Petrochemicals Manufacturers. This is the way it should be done. I love this ad, clip four.
You're in the driver's seat. You choose what road to take. But soon, you'll be taking a back seat to big government because EPA regulators just banned most new gas-powered cars. They've made it clear it's their way or the highway, even if electric vehicles aren't right for you or your family. Call the United States Senate. Tell them to stop the car ban before it's too late. Don'tBanOurCars.com, paid for by American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers.
Bravo. I love that. Don'tBanOurCars.com. Simple, says it. I wish Republicans had run on this message in the 2002 midterms. I hope Donald Trump is paying attention. They always say, you know, kitchen table issues are what get people. And yeah, inflation's important and economy and even foreign policy. But this resonates beyond parties, ideologies. You know, what they want to ban cars, and Congress never voted for it. State legislators never voted for it. Automakers never wanted to go. They just went along weakly, and they went along with it. Corporate government collusion, because these are the regulators, and they want bailouts, and they wanted the subsidies. They went along with this agenda. But it's time for the great public to awaken. Don't ban our cars. I love the message. Love it, love it, love it. Here's Elon Musk weighing in on some of the climate craziness that I've been detailing just in the opening of this program. Let's play clip five, and I'll comment on what Elon Musk is saying here.
I mean, I meet a lot of people out there who have lost hope. You know, they think it's too late, and they think there's no chance, and the Earth is doomed. It's like, it's not doomed. Earth can and will be saved.
Okay. I like his first part of the message, and I think he's absolutely right, especially in his old circles, not his new, when I say circles, meaning his social group and people he deals with, people that he probably does regular business. He probably met many people like that, that are just completely deluded and think like, unless we buy EVs, you know, Florida's going to be underwater and we're going all going to die, and we're not going to be able to wear pants. And, you know, we're going to have, our breathing is going to cause climate change, and transgender prostitutes in Indonesia are going to be losing all this money. They're going to go bankrupt, and the government's going to have to put government programs to subsidize transgender prostitutes. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're nuts. The second part, as he said, the Earth is going to be saved. And he's pushing things like a carbon tax. I showed you that video a couple weeks ago from Elon Musk. He hasn't quite been red. I think he got a red pill and took some, like a little nibbles and a couple big bites on free speech out of it. But when it comes to climate, I think he left most of that climate red pill behind. He's eaten a quarter of the pill. I'll give him 25% of the red pill on climate, because he now knows there's no climate catastrophe, no climate emergency. But the fact that he still thinks we can save the Earth, and the fact that he's promoting carbon taxes, ding, ding, bad, bad for Elon Musk. Okay, I'm going to save the next clip for the next hour, because we are running a little late here on the time, and I want to get ready because we have to take a break. When we come back, Tony Lyons, co-founder of the American Values, a RFK Jr. super PAC, will be joining us. He's an attorney and president of Skyhorse Book Publishing Company, founded in 2006, an independent book publisher. So we have a lot to talk about. I want to talk to him about free speech. I want to talk to him about RFK and his messaging. And remember, I've always been flirting with RFK Jr., except for a few key issues like environmental, climate. But when we come back, Tony Lyons will be joining us. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. Stay tuned.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far-right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
I want to eat apples and bananas. I need to eat apples and bananas. Why can't I eat apples and bananas?
Support the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks to help provide meals to those in need. Join us at feedingamerica.org.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. All right, joining us now is Tony Lyons, co-founder of American Values 2024, RFK Jr. Super PAC. And we're going to be talking a lot of things, RFK. We're going to talk about the book publishing world. We'll talk about free speech, censorship. Before we do that, before we discuss, I wanted to show this clip, which I have on RFK on censorship and warmongering in America 2024. So let's play this clip, and then we'll introduce Tony Lyon. So clip three of RFK Jr.
I started thinking when I saw the censorship, which I never believed the Democratic Party, you know, moving to censor political opponents and everybody being okay with it. I saw this explosion of chronic disease in our country that was just being covered up. You know, diabetes today, we spend more on diabetes than we do for our national defense. This is crazy. I mean, my generation, 70-year-old men, autism rates are 1 in 10,000 today, right now. 1 in 10,000. In my kids' generation, 1 in every 34 kids, 1 in every 22 boys, and nobody's explaining this. Why did food allergies just appear? Why did I not know a single person? I had 11 siblings, 70 cousins. I knew nobody with a peanut allergy when I was growing up. Why do 5 of my 7 kids have food allergies? Why does this entire generation have autoimmune disease? Why are we the sickest nation on the planet? Why do we have the highest COVID death rates? We had 16% of the COVID deaths. We only have 4% of the world's population. Somebody needs to explain that. Why are people getting awards for this? And the intensity of the, you know, of the cover up of why nobody's talking about it. And then, you know, I saw the Ukraine war and the Democrat and Republican parties become the parties of war. Nobody's asking the questions like with Iraq, you know, nobody asks, why are we at war in Iraq? Saddam Hussein didn't bomb the World Trade Center. He didn't have weapons of mass destruction. You know what? You know, why are we in another country's business, and why are we spending $8 trillion over there and, you know, destroying the one country that was the bulwark to Iran, and now Iraq is a proxy of Iran? What were we doing? Why was the press not asking real questions about it?
All right, that's RFK. And again, that is stirring, thrilling material. I got to say, as a likely Donald Trump voter, which I am, Donald Trump never inspires me like what I just saw there with RFK in terms of articulating. The only other candidate who actually ran for president in 2024 would be Vivek Ramaswamy. I had similar feelings about, like, wow. But I think RFK is actually even more eloquent, with more substance and more credibility than someone like Vivek, who basically came out of nowhere. So anyway, Tony Lyons, co-founder of American Values, the RFK Jr. Super PAC, and attorney president of Skyhorse Publishing. Welcome to Unleashed on TNT.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark.
All right, well, let's start with what RFK, first of all, tell us about this RFK Jr. Super PAC that you founded, the American Values 2024. Is this a brand new PAC, obviously, just this year? And it's just tell us what your mission is and how you see the presidential race laid out before us now, a three-way race, very similar to the Ross Perot, Bill Clinton, and George H.W. Bush race.
Yeah, so the PAC is called American Values 2024. It was founded about a year ago, and we've been working hard just to get Bobby's message out there and to fight through the incredible censorship and propaganda. And, my view is that, the polls show that 70% of the American public want to have some alternative to Trump and Biden. And Bobby Kennedy is that alternative. You know, so they're looking for somebody who's got integrity, authenticity, who's got character. You know, when Bobby Kennedy was taken off the ballot in Maine and in Colorado, Biden didn't come out trying to protect his opponent's rights, but Bobby came right out saying, this is not what happens in the United States. I don't want to win an election by keeping my opponent off the ballot, by stifling dissent, by taking them, you know, taking their words off big tech platforms, by making it impossible for the American public to know what this person stands for, you know, all of those things. So we are trying to get through to the public, even though almost no, you know, major TV show has Bobby on other than CNN last week. And, you know, almost no major newspaper does anything other than run standard hit pieces with boilerplate, Bobby Kennedy's dangerous, don't vote for him, And then my position is that Bobby Kennedy is really dangerous, but he's a danger to the sort of corruption that's taken over this country, that's taken over Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I mean, his appeal, talk a little bit about his cross appeal. I mean, obviously, he's got a Democrat base appeal being with the Kennedy family. But I want you to talk about his appeal to conservatives, libertarians. I myself was a Pat Buchanan activist, supporter, worked in the campaign briefly, was a volunteer, covered him in 92, 96 when he beat Bob Dole in New Hampshire. And America First is what I'm getting at. As in the video we just showed, basically that was Pat Buchanan's foreign policy in the 90s. You know, no foreign entanglements, America First, all these endless wars. Tell us about the appeal, because I met many conservatives, Republicans who have been, the word would be flirting with RFK Jr. So how does he have that cross appeal to conservatives, libertarians, and traditional Republican voters?
Like I said, 70% of the American public wants to vote for somebody who's an outsider, somebody who's not part of either of these parties that have dominated U.S. politics for all these years. So what they're looking for is somebody who they can really believe in. And I think that when they look at Biden, whether they're on the left or even on the center, they don't see a Democrat. I mean, what does the Democratic Party stand for 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago? It's anti-war, it's pro-free speech, it's pro-middle class. You don't see that with Biden. Biden claims that the economy is doing great, even though, most Americans are really suffering. The people who are doing great right now are billionaires who have twice the money now that they had 5 years ago, whereas most people can't pay for groceries, they can't pay their rent, they're mired in credit card debt, paying 22%. I mean, the people in this country don't feel like the country's going well. Biden claims everything's great. So, that's kind of how I view it. Bobby Kennedy is this sort of common sense middle ground where he says, there really are a lot of problems and we can solve them. That things don't have to be this way. We don't have to hate each other. We don't have to be in these foreign wars that cost trillions of dollars. We could be taking that money, rebuilding this country and creating a country once again that we can all be proud of.
Yeah, now I interviewed RFK Jr. at a 2014 climate march in New York City. This is the famous one. It went viral where he told me he'd like to see CEO of fossil fuel companies put in jail at The Hague as war criminals and punish politicians. And he's since sort of said, oh, that wasn't the smartest thing to say. I think it was rhetorical flourish at the time. But I never would have even considered him. What really, and I'd like you to speak to this, what really brought me around personally as a conservative Republican, or more conservative. I my first vote was for Ron Paul. I voted for Andre Marrero. I almost never voted for Republican nominee till Trump. But what happened was when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. stood up against the COVID tyranny in 2020, I was amazed because he was the most articulate voice. I think it was in Berlin in the fall of 2020 where he gave the incredible rousing speech. And at that time, I publicly said, all is forgiven for calling to jail anyone. I knew it was rhetorical flourish, but I couldn't believe it. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about him being the leader against the COVID tyranny, because I think that is one of that. And of course, his free speech crusade and now his foreign policy, I would call the three pillars of him running, at least among the conservative libertarians that I know.
Yeah, so I think that people on the right and the left who care about freedom, who care about the Constitution, recognize that there was this sort of coup d'etat and that our basic freedoms were taken from us during COVID, but gradually over the last 20 or 30 years. And so I think people saw Bobby Kennedy as this kind of folk hero that he really is. So some of those things that he said 20 or 30 years ago, have to be put in the context of the fact that he was an attorney fighting these big companies who were, in the process of taking over our government. And so he was fighting them really, really hard. And that's the same kind of thing Trump's trying to do. But, my position, and I think Bobby's, is that he's much better situated to actually drain the swamp. that he's been suing these big corporations, yeah. suing government agencies that are corrupt for the last 40 years. And he knows how they work. He knows where the bodies are buried. He knows who all the key players are. So he thinks he can really get it done. And I think he's right. So I, you know, that I think is what's going on. And I said before, you know, that there's this kind of deep hunger, as there was with Donald Trump in 2016, to have an outsider to come in to kind of fix all of these problems. And Bobby Kennedy looks at this disaster, which is our government, our media, you know, and the big corporations that are just prospering at the expense of people in this country, whether it's, you know, big oil, big ag, but mostly big pharma now, that's basically just taking over media and taking over our constitutional rights, telling us that we have to put things in our body that are clearly not safe, making it so that the government then protects them, gives them no liability, and makes it virtually against the law to disagree. So when in the history of this country was it against the law for a scientist, even in certain cases? I mean, Bobby Kennedy's book, The Real Anthony Fauci, had a blurb from a Nobel Prize winning scientist. So it's literally against the law, even for a Nobel Prize winning scientist, to disagree with a public health official who is basically funded by and trying to back and trying to increase profits for a handful of gigantic corporations.
And do you want to compare and contrast, you know, Trump's COVID response versus RFK Jr., what he said? I mean, Trump to this day still brags about the vaccine, the emergency use authorization, the Operation Warp Speed, claims he saved millions of lives. And he praised Andrew Cuomo for cheap political things when he was running against, just so he could smear DeSantis, saying Andrew Cuomo handled COVID better than Ron DeSantis did. Is RFK going to exploit what I consider the greatest weaknesses of Donald Trump? He still doesn't get where he failed during COVID by doing the 10 days to flatten the spread. We know he was duped by Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx. We know he never should have done the COVID emergency order. We know he should have brought in people from the outside like he did with Scott Atlas, but it was much later. It didn't come in until summer or when all the damage had been done and they'd said it. So what is RFK's strategy to go after Trump for his COVID failings?
Yeah, I mean, Trump was about to bring Bobby Kennedy in to sort of help with this gap in science, help with this gap in real science. So, you know, during COVID, Fauci sort of put himself forward as the person who represented science, so that anybody who disagreed with him was anti-science, was dangerous, was sort of killing people. Whereas that's not at all what science is. So what Bobby Kennedy would have done is he would have fired Fauci right away, and he would have brought in leading doctors, leading scientists, let them disagree and try to come up with the best way to solve the problem. So it is true, Trump didn't do that. Trump should have done that. And, you know, Bobby Kennedy definitely would. And, you know, so that's what we really need now, is we need a leader who is going to stand up to these big corporations, stand up to big pharma and cut them off. So one of the things he has said he would do right away is he would outlaw pharmaceutical advertising. There are only two countries on the planet that allow it, and that is New Zealand and the United States. So if you cut that off, he's pointed out, and it's a great point, that then the media isn't beholden to these companies. So they can then start to investigate them. They can then start to look at whether they're corrupt, whether they're, you know, forcing people to put things into their body that actually are very dangerous for them. So, you know, that's how I think Bobby Kennedy's different. I don't personally think Bobby Kennedy ought to attack Trump. I don't think that's what this country really needs. I think that we need less polarization. We need, you know, a bigger tank, sort of tent that Bobby ought to sort of try to include as many people, try to heal this country, you know, not only heal us from chronic diseases, but heal us from these incredible discord that's taken over this country too, which makes it so difficult for us to get things done. But while we're busy hating each other, and Bobby says this all the time, you know, these big corporations are taking over more and more of our government, and the government is then taking over more and more of our rights. And we should all be on the same side, making sure that we get our rights back and that we get a government that actually cares about our welfare and not the, just the welfare of billionaires and gigantic corporations.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really compelling message. I, as a free market, libertarian, conservative, I don't know about the bans on pharmaceutical. I understand the concept because I know they get 70, 80% of their revenue. They'll never challenge. The same way Bill Gates gives all these media companies money, the same way right. billionaire foundations give Associated Press, Reuters, all this money for a climate desk so they can spew out all the nonsense of climate fear constantly. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like, but here's the thing. What's amazing to me is so many conservatives, Republicans, and liberals are willing to reconsider just since March of 2020, COVID, lockdowns, all of these long-held views, I think. People had sort of an ideological doctrinaire view, but they realize now that that's not the way the world works and we have to come up with innovative, non-ideological solutions. And that's where populism comes in. And it's still funny because a lot of the inside the Beltway think tanks doctrinaire will recoil at a lot of these proposals. But at this point, there's not much we can do. Now, here's a question for you. What about like Teddy Roosevelt, the trust buster? Like when you come in, how do you actually go about modeling it? I know RFK sort of talked about this. How do you go about breaking up this corporate government collusion, the monopolies we saw during COVID lockdowns, all the mom and pop restaurants got decimated? Well, we had the largest transfer of wealth to the big corporate, the retail and the chains. How do you go about reversing that on a federal level with regulatory? I mean, is that's going to be met with a lot of resistance?
See, I think that's not the right way to look at it. That Bobby Kennedy says that he's a real capitalist, that he believes that the free market works. So what's happening now isn't free market capitalism. Yeah. It's free market capitalism for the top 20 multi-billion dollar companies, but they're all getting subsidized. So they're buying off the government and then they're creating laws that give them back all of that money. And then all of the smaller players, that in the marketplace of ideas and in the free market of business, they would create something that's much more rational. We're losing all of that. So we're getting a kind of an oligarchy, not capitalism. So Bobby Kennedy would bring back real capitalism. He would stop the subsidies to these companies, and he would stop allowing all of these gigantic companies to fund the government. Because if you fund the government, you can control it. So the FDA now gets something like 60% of its money from the companies that it's supposed to be regulating. So when that happens, you can't have an FDA that actually works to protect the American public. So those kinds of subsidies that are then given out to all these big companies, they hurt all of us. Because what we need is for smaller companies to have the opportunity to have better ideas and to win by having better ideas, not win by getting the money to bribe senators with bigger donations.
Yeah, and that's a very compelling argument. When you think about, when people say, well, he's a capitalist, you talk about Bill Gates, it's like, I don't consider Bill Gates a capitalist. It depends on what you mean, but the definitions have definitely changed. The World Economic Forum is not, the free market capitalists of the world. Depends on how you want to define those terms. But you're absolutely right. We have to look at this in a new lens. We take a break right now. We're talking to Tony Lyons, co-founder of American Values 2024, the RFK Jr. Super PAC. Also the president of Skyhorse Publishing. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We'll be right back after these messages.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
My dad was a farmer. The guy was bigger than life. He wasn't someone that liked to show his emotion or liked to show when he was struggling, but we all struggle. I want to show emotion to my kids. It's something that brings me so much joy, and I want them to see me working through things. Allow your kids to know that it's okay to struggle, that even dad doesn't know the answer sometimes, but we're gonna figure it out together.
Taking no prisoners, this is Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Unleashed with Mark Morano. All right, we're continuing our talk with Tony Lyons, the co-founder of American Values 2024, the RFK Jr. Super PAC, and the president of Skyhorse Publishing. The VP pick of Nicole Shanahan from, again, I never heard of her before, but my political sort of on the quick analysis, and you can give me a deeper analysis, is he was going more toward a Democratic base with that pick because she was a Democrat donor. She was more known in Democrat circles, and maybe he's going after Biden voters. That's my first thought. So tell us a little bit about who Nicole Shanahan is and what she brings to RFK's ticket.
Yeah, so I think that that she, very much like Bobby Kennedy, has gone through transformations that, you know, she's seen what's happening in this country. She sees this incredible chronic illness kind of taking over the country. She sees the big pharmaceutical companies poisoning our children. She sees the big agricultural companies poisoning our children. And she really wants to fight about that and bring back kind of a system where the government encourages people to be healthy and doesn't encourage big corporations who are poisoning us. So I think that that's a real point of connection between her and Bobby Kennedy. And so looking back at the things that she said or done in the past, just like you were saying with Bobby Kennedy, if you go back 20 or 30 years, yeah, you can hear some statements, but that's true with almost anybody. I mean,
certainly true with Donald Trump, yeah, as well, yeah.
And it's even more true with Joe Biden, where looking, yes, back at the things that he said consistently that are racist, sexist, that are, yeah, you know, just all kinds of contradictory things about his own life that aren't true. Mm-hmm. So but mostly I think that you judge people by what they do now, what they think now, what their policies are going to be going forward. And I think that you're always better off having a candidate, a president, a vice president, who are willing to hear new ideas, who are willing to have transformative experiences. Bobby Kennedy going to the border. Nicole Shanahan went to the border. They're trying to figure out what's really going on. They don't think that they know all of the answers. They're going to bring in experts. They're going to try to figure out the problems that are plaguing this country, because both of them feel strongly that the country doesn't have to be this way, that things don't have to be this bad, that these are mostly man-made problems and that we can solve them. We can figure out better ways of doing things. And I think they're right in line there. And I think that as the public gets to know who Nicole Shanahan really is, they're going to be right behind her. They're going to see that she doesn't care about left or right anymore. Maybe she did in the past, but she cares about solving the incredible, you know, very serious problems that we're facing now. And she really cares, just like Bobby does, about free speech, about foreign wars, about bringing this country back, like I said before, to a place where we're protecting our children, where we're bringing the soldiers home, where we're protecting the middle class. These are all things that should be important to all of us, and that I think are, and that I think when she gets out there and is describing her beliefs and her values and what she wants to do now, people on the left and the right will really be behind her.
All right, a question for RFK. I, at the beginning of our interview, Tony, I played the clip of him talking about his foreign policy, America First, essentially, and the endless wars. How does he plan on, how do you wrangle in a military industrial complex? As RFK so eloquently said, the money, the aid to Ukraine isn't even going to Ukraine. It's going straight to American defense contractors, which then give money to the politicians. But beyond that, even the Pentagon, I mean, Donald Trump tried an America First foreign policy to the extent that he could. But even he multiple times tried to get troops withdrawn from Afghanistan and was essentially just poo-pooed, if that's a word, by the military. Just, yeah, we'll get to it. Sir. And like they just almost disregarded him. Then you had generals even turning against him. And you have the deep state from the defense intelligence, CIA, FBI, working with our social media to censor speech. How does he take on that state? And also keeping in mind what happened to his uncles, particularly his JFK president, who there's a lot of theories that the intelligence agencies and the military didn't want him to be president and help take him out. So the question is, how does he practically do that? Donald Trump, for all of his faults, did try. And of course, they only pulled us out of Afghanistan right when they had Ukraine ready for the next war and the next profit for the defense manufacturer. It was only 5 months later. I mean, it makes you cynical to think that's why they pulled out. But how does he take on the military-industrial complex?
Well, so look at what's happened to Bobby Kennedy over the last 18 years. I mean, he's just had incredible hit pieces in every newspaper, day after day, week after week. He's been vilified. There's been, you know, all this propaganda to kind of bring him down, to tear him down, to shut him up. But he hasn't been shut down and he's kept on fighting. So Bobby Kennedy is really tough and he's sort of, you know, battle toughened. So he's been fighting these incredible battles against some of the biggest corporations in the United States, against some of the most powerful government agencies. And he's been holding their feet to the fire year after year. And the reason that he wants to be president is that he thinks, even though he's won, you know, hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits to protect the public and to make sure that these companies don't do these horrendous things that they're doing and that the government agencies don't, work for these companies rather than for the people who have hired them and who pay them, well, to some extent, because the companies pay them too. But so he has been so tough over such a long period of time, and he doesn't care what people say. He doesn't care what they do. He isn't looking for more money. He isn't looking for more power. He just wants to solve these problems in common sense ways. So I think that you have somebody there who has this toughened character, and that character leads him, like I said before, to defend Donald Trump when Donald Trump is being treated unfairly. He says what he believes and he will do what he thinks is right. And he does not care how hard it is. So I think that he comes to Washington and he does the incredibly difficult work. And I think you'd see incredible results. So it's obviously going to be tough. But I think if you're going to bet on somebody, you want to bet on somebody who's got this consistent record of honesty, integrity, and character.
All right. And what about his path to victory? First of all, what does it look like with ballot access? I know there's been talks of rumors of him meeting with the Libertarian Party, possibly getting on their ballot. What do you expect to happen? Will he be a true independent with his own ballot access? Will he join up with a party like Libertarians? What's the plan?
So I think that, you know, what you see right now is that, you know, and I said it before, but 70% of the American public wants the opportunity to vote for somebody other than Trump or Biden. And then you've got multiple states now, and the polls vary, but in, you know, Arizona, there was one poll that showed him at 26% versus Trump and Biden at 33%. There's a poll for Michigan that's only about 2 or 3 weeks old that shows him at 27%. So at those kinds of numbers, he just needs to pull 2 or 3% from each of Trump and Biden, and he's actually winning. So I think that you know, and this is in the face of such incredible censorship, mostly from Biden. I mean, Biden creating this multi-billion dollar hit team to try to take him down, but his polling is still staying really strong. So I think that the path to victory for him is to burst through to the American public, that essentially millions and millions of Americans are not happy with the way the country's going now. And they weren't really, and they don't love Trump. They maybe hate Biden, but they're looking for some alternative, and they've been lied to about the alternative that is Bobby Kennedy. So we think that when the PAC can help him get through to the public, that more and more people are going to recognize him for who he is, which is this trustworthy, common sense person who's going to bring in experts to look at each of the issues and really try to solve them, and not care what the consequences are, not care whether big corporations stop donating money. I mean, Biden's $3 billion. What can he use it for? You know, they don't have policies that they can promote. They can only try to take down Trump and Bobby Kennedy. So I think that's his path. His path is truth. His path is getting through to the public.
Thank you very much. We're out of time. Tony Lyons, co-founder of American Values 2024, president of Skyhorse Publishing. Thank you for joining the program today on TNT.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.